Internet Cases Podcast, March 5th, 2007.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode number 26 of the Internet Cases Podcast. I'm attorney Evan Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, USA. There was a bill introduced in the House of Representatives last week, which, if it passes, will make some changes to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And I'd like to talk with you about that bill in this episode. In particular, the bill makes certain exemptions to some of the anti-circumvention provisions found at Section 1201 of the Copyright Act. As you probably know, it's these anti-circumvention provisions that really give the legal effect to digital rights management schemes, which you hear referred to as DRM. I'm going to walk through some of the major points of the bill and identify a few of the issues that it raises. So, here we go. By way of background, there are three anti-circumvention provisions in the DMCA. The first one, which is the only one that's affected by the bill we're talking about here today, prohibits the circumvention of any technological measure that effectively controls access to a work protected by copyright. Now, what does that mean? Well, think about the DRM on the songs you download from the iTunes Music Store. They're protected so that you can only play them on certain authorized computers. In the language of the DMCA, Apple's DRM is a kind of technological measure that effectively controls access to a work protected by copyright. In this situation, the work protected by copyright is the song that's embodied in the file. DVDs are another example. The content on most DVDs is encrypted, and you can only watch them on machines that have licensed decryption software on them. If you don't have the licensed software, you don't have access to the content that's on the DVD. The second and third anti-circumvention provisions deal with the trafficking in technologies used to circumvent technological measures. The second provision prohibits the trafficking in any technology that circumvents a measure that controls access to a work. And the third provision prohibits trafficking in any technology that circumvents a measure which controls how and whether a work is copied. So there's a subtle distinction there. The bill that was introduced this past week in the House of Representatives is aptly named the Fair Use Act. That stands for Freedom and Innovation Revitalizing U.S. Entrepreneurship Act of 2007. Great name, huh? It's a bipartisan and a coast-to-coast effort, with the bill being co-sponsored by Democrat Rick Boucher of Virginia and California Republican John Doolittle. Now, the bill addresses a number of points that DMCA critics have made over the years. Perhaps most significantly, it tries to curb the DMCA's harsh effects when a person is circumventing some DRM on a work so that the person can make a fair use of that work. The bill proposes six exemptions to anti-circumvention liability. In other words, it sets out six situations where a person can circumvent some technological measure that effectively controls access to a work without running afoul of the DMCA. So let's take a look at each of these six exemptions. The first exemption provides that it's not an unlawful circumvention when it is carried out solely for the purpose of making a compilation of portions of audiovisual works in the collection of a library or archives for educational use in a classroom by an instructor. Unfortunately, it looks like these amendments to the DMCA would not help the nature of how it's written in a bunch of legalese, but in any event, that's what it says. So this first exemption deals just with audiovisual works, so long as the circumvention is being done to make a compilation that is used in the classroom by the teacher. Now, if you read this provision very carefully, and I've put a link to the bill in today's show notes so you can do just that, you may see an ambiguity that I hope the legislators work out. When I read this first exemption, I'm not sure what's in it for libraries. It says that circumvention is okay if it's done for making a compilation in the collection of a library or archives for educational use in the classroom by an instructor. I'm wondering, does that mean that in order for it to be an authorized circumvention, the library's compilation must be used in the classroom for educational purposes? or does the educational use in the classroom language modify only the word archives? And, you know, this may sound a little bit like hair splitting, but if you're a library wondering about what this bill might allow, I would think that you'd want a little more clarity. So we may see some reworking of this language as it goes through the legislative process. The second exemption in the bill provides that a person can circumvent an access control measure for the purpose of enabling him or her to skip past or to avoid commercial or personally objectionable content in an audiovisual work. Now, if you've gotten bored by this podcast so far, you certainly have my authority to skip ahead or move on to the next track. That would be fine. But for this exemption, like the first exemption, this applies to audiovisual works, not to music, text, software, audio, or the like. Now, the language seems pretty straightforward, and it should be welcome news to anyone who likes to fast-forward through commercials on your TiVo. And a lot of parents as well should be happy to know that they might be able to modify certain movies so that their children can be shielded from the scary or the explicit parts and still enjoy the rest of the show. The third exemption would allow for circumvention carried out so that you could transmit a work over your home or personal network, so long as that doesn't disable any protection of the work from being uploaded to the internet for what the bill calls mass indiscriminate redistribution. This exemption seems to contemplate use of a work with one's home entertainment system, and it seems to be a nod to the notion that if you've purchased one copy of something, you should be able to use it on multiple devices. But you've got to be careful here. This doesn't give the authority to make new copies. We're talking about anti-circumvention here, and there are no new rights granted to infringe copyright. It's important to keep that distinction in mind when thinking about anti-circumvention provisions in general. So moving on to the fourth exemption in the bill. This provides that circumvention is okay if it's to gain access to works in the public domain that are included in a compilation consisting primarily of works in the public domain. Now, this provision sounds great because, after all, because you'd think that one shouldn't be liable for any use of works that are in the public domain. It's in the public domain, after all. But really, why is this even in the bill? Remember, to be liable for illegal circumvention under the DMCA, the underlying technologically protected work has to be one that is subject to copyright protection. So if it wouldn't be illegal anyway to circumvent a technological protection on a work in the public domain, I'm not sure why this exemption is necessary, but I guess it doesn't hurt anything, so Congress might as well leave it in. Now for the fifth exemption. This part says that it wouldn't be an illegal circumvention if it's done to gain access to a work of substantial public interest solely for the purposes of criticism, comment, news reporting, scholarship, or research. Now, you can certainly see what Congress is trying to do here. These types of uses are the flagship uses that are considered fair use. Just look, you know, straight to Section 107 of the Copyright Act. But how is this language in the provision to be interpreted? You know, who among us can draw a line around content that is of substantial public interest? This whole concept seems kind of amorphous, and I would predict that there would be some tricky litigation interpreting what that might mean. Finally, the sixth exemption allows certain libraries and archives to circumvent access control to a work if it's done to preserve or secure a copy of a work, or to replace a copy in the library that is damaged, deteriorating, lost, or stolen. Now, this provision only relates to works that are already in the library, so the library can't invoke this provision to obtain an unauthorized copy. It can only circumvent access controls on works it already has. So that's a roundup of the provisions. Now, it's important to remember, again, that these exemptions are only for the provisions of the DMCA that prevent or that prohibit the circumvention of access control measures. In that sense, because the proposed exemptions don't address the prohibitions on the circumvention of copy protection technology, they're somewhat limited, if not limited a lot. And one is left to wonder whether the proposed exemptions do all that much to encourage fair use. Now, take, for example, the social critic video blogger that wants to take a short clip from a movie on DVD to make some kind of statement about the current state of society. What she'll need to be able to do for this project is to disable the DRM on the DVD, which prohibits the content from being copied. Allowing her to merely access the content through circumvention really won't do all that much, and that's all that this bill provides. To really allow her to make a fair use, she needs to get the authority to circumvent the copy protection on the DVD as well, and this bill does not seem to give that kind of authority. And the bill's problematic for another reason, too, perhaps also because it doesn't go far enough to serve the purposes it seems to want to espouse. Here's the problem. If this bill passes, it will be okay to circumvent access control DRM in these six situations we just covered. But trafficking in any circumvention tools would still be prohibited under the DMCA. So the question is, how are people like librarians and teachers going to legally get the tools to perform the types of circumvention that may become permitted if this bill passes? It would seem to me that authorized circumvention that can only be performed through illegally obtained tools is kind of a hollow incentive for innovation and creativity. Maybe I'm missing something here, and if I am, I hope you'll drop me a line and let me know. So that's it for this episode. Remember, as always, everything I've said here is just for your entertainment and information. If you're looking for legal advice, you should personally consult directly with a lawyer. Thanks for listening, and I hope to talk to you again very soon.